The Federal Reserve profits in the storm.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Today, the Federal Reserve will estimate its earnings for 2009. And according to the Washington Post, the numbers look pretty good. The Post reports the Fed made record profits last year. Marketplace's Sam Eaton joins us live in the studio. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Bill.
What kind of profits are we talking about here?
Well, they're really astonishing, actually. The Washington Post has calculated that the Fed made about $45 billion last year on its investments. That's the highest earnings in the bank's century-long history. And this is good news, of course, for the federal budget because all of those profits are returned back to the U.S. Treasury. It's also a sign that the central bank has been successful, at least so far, in cushioning the blow to taxpayers as it aggressively intervenes in the economy.
So how does this work, Sam? Why has the Federal Reserve raked in so much cash?
Well, aggressive is the key word here. Fed policy isn't really about maximizing profits. It's about maintaining stability in the nation's money supply. But as the financial crisis hit, the central bank took on an aggressive and unprecedented strategy to prop up the economy. It bought up government debt and mortgage securities in record amounts. And now the interest income from those investments is paying off in spades. Even the emergency loans it made to the banks are bringing in hefty profits.
Right. But these gains came with an awful lot of risk, right?
They did, of course. As the Fed acts more like a private bank, it obviously boosts its earning power. But that also exposes it to greater risk on the downside. If, for example, the Fed was forced to sell some of those assets in the future to reduce money supply at a time when the price of those securities was low, they could be in for a big loss. Now, it's worth noting one of the big differences here between the Fed and the private banks, whose bonuses will be under the spotlight in Washington this week. Despite the record earnings, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke still makes just under $200,000 a year.
No bonus on top of that. Okay, Marketplace's Sam Eaton. And speaking of bank bonuses, federal regulators have expanded their charges against Bank of America over billions of dollars in bonuses paid at Merrill Lynch. The SEC accuses B of A of hiding the big losses at Merrill before the shareholders got to vote on the marriage of those two companies. Corporate earnings season started yesterday with the big aluminum producer Alcoa reporting first quarter profits. The experts were predicting 5 cents of profit per share. Instead, the number that came out after the market's close was 1 penny per share. And that seems to be weighing on stocks this morning, with European markets down pretty sharply, more than 1%. Asian stocks ended the day mixed. Shares of Japan Airlines fell another 45% as the bankruptcy vultures appear to be circling. The price of oil fell for a change below $82 a barrel after a forecast for warmer weather around the world. And on Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 46 points. It closed at 10,663. Remember the name Diebold? This is the company that, well, they make ATMs, but they also made those voting machines that election experts criticized for being insecure and inaccurate. A few months ago, Diebold sold the voting machine business to its biggest rival, Election Systems and Software, or ES&S. Well, now reporter Brett Neely says the Justice Department reportedly plans to sue ES&S on antitrust grounds.
Bev Harris with the advocacy group BlackBoxVoting.org is for breaking up ES&S.
What you have is a single entity taking control over the programming and the counting of the votes in 74% of the jurisdictions in America.
And she says a monopoly can also lead to higher maintenance costs. The Justice Department wouldn't comment, but ES&S spokesman John Gross says the voting machine industry has to consolidate.
We just don't see how it will support very many suppliers because it is not a large marketplace.
Activists have complained for years that voting machines can be hacked. Computer scientist Michael Shamos at Carnegie Mellon says the machines are safer than critics charge. But he says the industry has a bigger problem, reliability.
If electric shavers failed as rapidly as voting machines do, we would raise the hue and cry.
Shamos says that makes election officials even more worried about an industry monopoly. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact. dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
For only the second time in history, Super Bowl ads have dropped in price. TNS Media Intelligence reports CBS is selling 30-second spots during the Super Bowl for $2.5 to $2.8 million, compared to the record $3 million last year on NBC. Marketplace's senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports.
There's a touch of irony in this commercial from last year's Super Bowl.
Come on, people, we gotta focus. We're not leaving until we've met our budget. We need ideas.
We could cut back on marketing.
It turns out a guy who suggests not buying beer for staff meetings gets thrown out the window, but it's the one who talked about cutting back on marketing that ad agencies and networks undoubtedly would prefer to get the heave-ho. Advertising is among the first things to go when consumers are less likely to buy, so why would any company still spend up to $2.8 million for just 30 seconds of our attention? Professor Jim Albright teaches advertising at the University of North Texas.
The smart ones always say that during the bad times, the pie gets smaller. So you should spend more money on advertising to get a bigger piece of shrinking pie.
Albright says that's why it's actually a good time to be buying a spot on the Super Bowl. He remembers it wasn't always such an image builder back when he was a national ad man writing Super Bowl commercials for Frito-Lay.
It didn't seem the matter of pride that it is now. It just was another buy to me at the time.
But now he says it makes good sense to be buying into the big leagues, especially with all the free publicity the ads get every year. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, the UK faces what the Guardian newspaper calls a serious grit shortage. Workers have spread so much gravel and salt on the roads there to cope with the heavy snow that the country's main salt mine in Cheshire could run out as soon as today. Ask your broker about grit futures. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.